Hi, I'm Jamie Lynn Tinkey, a missionary serving in Chile, and you're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge from KFUO Radio.
You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
We are recording, I want to say live, but this isn't actually live. We're on location.
I'm alive.
Yeah. I mean, we're it's being recorded live.
Everything's recorded live, though.
Yeah. I haven't recorded dead yet.
we're being recorded before a live audience.
We are. People are actually walking by because we are at the 2025 LWML National Convention in Omaha. We promised we would be here, and we are actually here with the pink couch.
And I'm here, too.
And Rachel's in person.
In Virginia.
It's so exciting. We have so many people around the table that we had to redo our mic logistics because we didn't realize we didn't have enough mics, which is a very good problem to have, I suppose.
Very happy problem.
It's a very happy problem. And that means we have two special guests joining us today. Erin, would you introduce our guest for us?
I am super excited to have these ladies here with us. We have two missionaries with us. We have Deaconess Carol Halter. The legend. Carol, well, I'm not going to spoil it by trying to give too much of an introduction because she will do a lot of introduction. But she is one of, she is our longest serving missionary.
Yeah. Wow. By like a lot, right?
It's amazing. And we have Chelsea Irwin serving, and she serves in Czech Republic, but I know Chelsea because I get to work with her quite on the regular.
Oh.
She is one of the missionaries that I work most closely with.
Yeah.
And we are going to talk with them today about their experience as missionaries. So, since I didn't want to steal your thunder, so I want you to each give a brief introduction. How do you... When you're meeting someone for the first time in the LCMS, how do you introduce yourself?
Who goes first?
Okay. Well, I'm Chelsea Irwin. I am a missionary with the LCMS, and I've been serving in the Czech Republic for 5 years.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, Carol.
I'm Carol Halter, and I'm a missionary with the LCMS, and I'm serving in Hong Kong for 44 years, and I'm still going back.
That's amazing.
44 years.
44 years. I'm looking goggly-eyed right now because, as it happens, I am 44 years old, so you have been serving for as long as I have been alive.
And amazing.
And isn't it impressive?
Spring chicken.
Oh, I could be holding you in my arms when I was in Hong Kong the first time.
Wow.
Oh, I love that picture.
I feel very much younger than I have in a while. Carol, as we say in the military, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, it's a very happy service.
Yeah.
And the more longer I'm a missionary, even the happier I am.
Oh. Yeah.
It was when I was 6 years old, I told my sister, I said, when I grow up, I'm going to be a missionary in China.
Uh-huh.
And she made fun of me and said, how could you be a missionary in China? You don't even know where China is. And I answered and I said, yes, I do. You dig a hole right here. And she said, she asked me long enough times and I said it long enough times. She knows for sure that I said it when I was 6 years old.
Yeah. Amazing. Now, that's is this hilarious. An older sister or a younger sister?
Yeah.
Yeah, that does sound right. I am an older sister, and that is exactly the sort of thing I would have said.
Yeah.
So, okay. Okay, but you made it there. When did you first go to China? When
did
you first go?
1966.
Carol, you might have been there when my grandparents were there. My grandparents were missionaries in Hong Kong in the late 60s. through the mid-70s.
And what's their name?
The Lidkeys. Jim and Audrey Lidkey.
I didn't know them.
Oh, my goodness. How do we not know this?
And that's your great-grandparents?
No, those are my grandparents. And so they had six daughters, and all of them were there. So maybe
the Lidkeys.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yes. We just made connections here.
Oh, my gosh. I never knew this connection. I thought you didn't go until the 80s.
Well, I didn't officially go under the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as a missionary under the 80s.
But you were there. But you were there for the first time.
Yeah. So they count 44 years from the time I went to the mission board.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
We just learned something very important today.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Just that I'm old. That's all.
Oh, wow.
I believe legendary is the word that we prefer.
Yeah, Carol is that.
I'm just a little old lady.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay, I recently read that story about Carol when she was 6 years old in her newsletter. And I turned to my dad and I said, look at her picture. It's black and white. Look at it. She is really the legend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
That's my take on Carol's age.
Well, I know we're gonna get into your backstories in a little while, but I feel like I would like a little bit more introduction at first because you both said, "I'm a missionary serving in Czech Republic and in Hong Kong." So, I'm just imagining the job description missionary and the action serving. And that is very nonspecific for me because my default image, and this is completely unrealistic, I know because my parents did serve as missionaries briefly, is to imagine missionaries going into a marketplace in a third world country somewhere, standing on a soapbox and preaching in a very bad version of the language that is spoken there and hoping that people will respond. And I understand, thanks to Aaron's Mission 101 series, that is not actually what most of them do most of the time. So I want to know what you do as missionaries serving in your respective countries. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So my job has two parts, the regional side and the local side. And regionally, I am the volunteer coordinator for the entire LCMS Eurasia region, which means that I build relationships with missionaries and local church partners and hear their needs for volunteers from the LCMS to come and serve in their local ministry context. That's a lot.
Yes.
But on a daily basis, my local work in my community in the Czech Republic, I'm serving at a local church plant about 20 minutes away from where I live. And there I help run a kids club and a baby club, which are contact ministries to reach people in the community. And some of it overlaps with each other. So, for example, the baby club, we have moms that found out there's English for adults on Mondays. So they come to that. And then they find out that there's school-age kids can go to kids club on Wednesday, so they do that. And they're also at baby club. And then sometimes the moms sign up their school-age kids for English Bible camp in the summer. So we're seeing these people multiple times a week and having meaningful conversations with them, and that leads to sharing the gospel.
Oh my goodness, thank you. That is much clearer. Also, that sounds like you stay very busy.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
In my spare time, I go to LWML conventions.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, me too.
It's really fun.
What about you, Carol? What does your day-to-day mission service look like in this chapter in your career? I know it has to have looked very different.
Yeah,
at different times.
But because she was talking about the elder male conventions, I just checked out, and I was at the Cleveland 1991 elder male convention as a speaker then.
Is that before you were born, Chelsea?
I wasn't born! My parents weren't even married.
Oh, my goodness.
They were married in 1992.
Oh, wow. Well, there we go.
There we go.
Guess well, if they weren't married to 92, I'm real glad you weren't born in 91. Oh,
yeah. Making all of us feel old now. It's okay. Except Chelsea.
Okay. What I do is twofold. Mainly, our half is teaching the Word of God, and the other half is counseling. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And teaching the Word of God means I hold different seminars in different churches. We have 43 churches in Hong Kong, Lutheran Church, Hong Kong Synod, which is the sister synod of Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Yes.
And so I hold seminars in these churches. It might be a Sunday school teacher's seminar, maybe for 6 weeks. Or it might be the last one they had, a growing in Christ, which is right in tune with the
That's the theme.
That's the theme for this.
Yeah. And so the last ones that I seminar that I had was growing in Christ, and they chose the topics. I gave them about 30 topics, and then they chose of the 30 topics which the ones they wanted, and then they titled it Growing in Christ because those happened to the ones they chose were about growing in Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you do all of these in which language?
I do this all in Cantonese, which has 9 tones. Mm. So you never mispronounce something. You say something way off the wall.
Like
if you would want to say Jesus is the Lord and Savior, you should say Yeso Si Gao Ju. And if you say it wrong and you say Yeso Si Gao Ju, you said Jesus is a plastic pig. And they would think that's what you say because they have a monkey god.
Yeah.
And they'd say a plastic pig god and so forth. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So you have to be very careful with the tones. So there's ju, 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 ju. Those are 9 different tones.
What?
So
My headphones are not good enough.
You can't, I know. You can't hit them wrong.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
how long
goodness.
Did it take you to master those 9 different tones?
It was a 2-year course, and it was 5 days a week and 9 hours a day.
Whoa.
And then you're still laughing people under the table because you know the symbol, you know what you're, the sound of what you're saying, but you're saying it the wrong tone.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they just kind of look at you.
It's so hard to teach our ears to listen for that.
And so,
we're not used to it.
Another year before I got the tone straightened out.
Uh-huh.
And then another year before I get all the Christian terms. Because when you go to school, you just go to school and you learn about dancing and ice skating and and eggs and chicken and all that.
Yeah.
Well,
how to order
that
breakfast.
One in my teaching.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that's not in the Bible. You know,
how do you say chicken of Concord?
Maybe there is chicken. But anyway,
justification.
So then I had to have another year that whenever I would teach, I'd be a cram session for that teaching session on the words that I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So how would you say growing in Christ?
Joy Julo being sing down. Did you get that? The tones.
It was growing in Christ.
Yeah. Some are rising, 3 are rising, 3 are falling, and 3 are level.
So interesting.
Wow. You know, as hard as that must be to learn, how lovely to have such music built into your language.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, what's funny is I hardly ever speak English, and so I've been translating, but I've been in the States for about 4 days now, so my English is coming back again.
So we're going to throw you into a podcast in English.
And so sometimes I'm translating from Chinese.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, if you want to just randomly answer our questions in Chinese, that would be fine.
Wow. Okay.
And we wouldn't know what you're saying,
but guess.
Just guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I want to know how both of you ended up where you are today. These are always the stories. We talk about these a lot on Coffee
Origin
Hour.
It's always
origin stories, but I love hearing how people end up where they end up. I know there's just lots that goes into actually becoming a missionary.
Yes. Okay. Wow. This is different than the Coffee Hour because I have more time.
You have all the time in the world.
Yeah.
So let me tell you.
You can tell you the entire story.
I would love to.
Yes.
Not a lot of people know.
Okay.
Aaron, this is it.
I'm so excited.
Aaron prepped us for a really good story, so the bar is high.
Okay. I don't even know if Aaron knows the full story.
No, I don't.
So when I was in, I don't remember all of it, but when I was in maybe 3rd grade, Carol Halter did chapel at my elementary school.
No way.
Yes. Carol Halter is part of her origin story.
Oh, my goodness.
And my Sunday school supported her. So I remember seeing her prayer card all over my church and hearing about everything that was going on in Hong Kong. And Gary Tease talks about her nonstop, even, you know, at 44 years. So It was like the talk of the town that Carol Halter is in Hong Kong and we have to pray for her. And so that, I mean, that's part of it. You know, when I was in kindergarten, I told my parents I was going to be a teacher and go to Concordia Seward. And that's just what I did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Almost. Almost. Sort of almost, maybe. I don't know. So, yeah, I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a preschool teacher like my mom.
Aww.
And I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska. So I
That's where we are.
I know. This convention is in my hometown.
Yes. So many full circle moments.
It's so special. This is so special for me. So I grew up with Gary Tease. I went there all the time to Mission Central to see different missionaries. It was a part of my life. Mm-hmm. And our Sunday school had something called M&M Sundays, which was like mission moment Sundays.
Oh, I love it.
And we would always get M&Ms, you know, and watch a movie after we heard from a missionary or we talked about a missionary or said where our mites were going for that missionary.
So many M's.
I know. So then I was in seventh grade. And I was 13 years old, and I went with my dad for the first time on a mission trip to Poland to help at an English camp.
Oh.
And I went to this same English camp for 10 summers in a row.
Whoa.
Whoa.
With
yeah.
your father.
Uh-huh.
What's that?
With your father.
Yeah, with my dad.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So I went to the same camp for 10 years in a row, and then I went to Concordia during this time for four of those summers, and while I was at Concordia, I was studying early childhood education. I was living my dream at Concordia, Nebraska.
Yep.
I was so happy.
Yes.
And I was on all of the Office of International Missions hit lists. You know, they wanted, they had their eyes on me. They knew that they wanted me to be a missionary, but I was not planning to do that at all, despite my background. And so I wanted to be a teacher. That's what I thought God was calling me to do. And there's something in the state of Nebraska called the Praxis Test that all teachers have to take in order to get a teaching license. Yes. And there's a reading, writing, and math section. I took the math section of this test 8 times over the course of my bachelor's.
Mm. Wow.
And I was never fully admitted into the education department because I could not pass.
Oh.
And in Nebraska, they were going to pass a law that would change just the math score to the exact number I had from the last test that I had retaken.
Oh.
And I had put so much money into it. It cost money to take the test every time. My parents paid for special tutoring, and I said, the devil does not want me to be a Lutheran school teacher, and I have to overcome this. And at the beginning of my senior year, I found out that they did not pass the law.
Oh.
And I thought, I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking this test again.
Yeah.
And I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
I thought, God, what are you doing? You just taken my plans and thrown them in a dumpster and lit it on fire.
Yeah.
And I was so upset. And nobody believed me that I didn't want to be a missionary. All of my professors. I was like, there's nowhere for me to go. How will I, you know, be a worker?
Are
in
you
LCMS?
Still going to Poland every summer while you're saying this to them?
Yeah. Yeah, it's silly. It's silly. Yeah. If I would have seen, like, where I am now, I would have been like, yeah, obviously.
Duh, Chelsea.
But, well, it gets worse.
Oh, no.
So, okay. So all my professors, all my friends, my family was like, you're supposed to be a missionary, and you don't need to be a teacher, you don't need to be on the roster to do those things. You can just have a bachelor's and be a missionary.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no, I'm supposed to stay in Nebraska. I'm supposed to teach. I got to find a way to figure it out and be a teacher in America.
Okay.
And then I was in my advisor's office one day. I had to change my major. So I have a bachelor's of education, just with educational studies.
Oh.
So I did everything. I know, it's like useless. It's so stupid. So I have special education training and ESL training. And I was like ready to work in Omaha Public Schools.
Yeah.
Or Lutheran, you know, whatever they found me. And I was with my advisor one day, and I was crying, and I was like, what am I supposed to do? And she looked at me, and she almost started laughing, and she went, don't you know? Like, you're supposed to be in Poland right now. And I was like, what? Like, what? And she was like, Chelsea, I've known you for 4 years. we're very close. Our class of the early child department was very small. Uh-huh. And she said, the only time that you ever have like real joy and excitement in your voice and on your face is when you're talking about English camp in Poland.
Oh.
And I was like, well, yeah, but it's short term. You know, that's, I was like, that's why teachers have the summer off, right? To go on mission uh-huh. trips. And she was like, no, what? And she sent me to what was called, I think it's changed now, but it was called the Go Center, which was a little white house on campus where all the missions department was. And Julie Johnston, who works still at Concordia, Nebraska, uh-huh. was there. I walked to the Go Center. I was so mad. Julie Johnston handed me a bunch of pamphlets about different mission organizations. And I was trying to be polite. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'll really consider it. And I walked out of her office. I found the nearest trash can and I threw them away.
Oh! Dramatic.
I love this so much.
And I kept walking to my dorm, and at that moment I got an email from the choir director, and he said that you have to sing in the choir at St. John's, which is across the street from Concordia, Nebraska's campus.
Yeah.
That coming Sunday, which I never went there because I always went back to Lincoln to my mm-hmm. parents' church.
Yep.
But this one Sunday I was at St. John. And on this one Sunday I was sitting in the balcony. And there's this guy, he gets up in front of the church during the announcements, and he starts speaking in a Slavic language.
Oh, no.
And I started learning Czech or Polish when I was 13, so I could understand.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what is going on? And all my friends were like, look down there. Look, it's a missionary. Look at it. Look at it. Isn't that where you serve? He was literally talking about English Bible camp. And I was like, I looked over the side of the balcony, and then I immediately looked to the heavens, and I was like sneering. I was like, God, you have got to leave me alone.
So this it's like Jonah.
I know. This missionary was Ben Helge.
Uh-huh. Oh, Ben Helge.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, he's now my supervisor, which is silly. Yeah. So I went to his presentation because that's what you do when there's a missionary. You gotta
go. It would be really yeah. rude not to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he was talking all about what he does in the Czech Republic and that he lives in Silesia, which is the part of the country where we live, which is also where my camp was in Poland
because mm-hmm. uh-huh.
it's on the border.
Of course.
And I went to his table afterward, you know, just taking all the free stuff. And he was like, what are you doing after graduation? And I was like, no. This doesn't work on me. No. And he was like, okay, respect, whatever. Have fun being a teacher. And I went back to my dorm. And I was so mad. I started praying that God would keep me in Nebraska. I said, God, I will be a trash man. Like, I will do anything. I will keep going short term. Just don't let me live there. Also, oh yeah, backtrack just a hot second. In eighth grade, I told my parents once that I was gonna come to Poland and run all the English Bible camps one day, and I started looking for apartments. I was joking, but that's my job now, so. Okay. So I went back to my dorm. I got this email from Julie Johnston from the missions department. Uh-huh. Ben Helge is gonna be on campus for lunch this week. Would you like to join them? And I was like, God, please, just leave me alone. And so I went to the lunch. Okay. Uh-huh. You know, this is what you do when there's a missionary on campus. Uh-huh. You go and meet them.
Right.
And my dad happened to be doing chapel that day. He's a pastor, so he went with me.
Uh-huh.
I was the only student that showed up.
Oh.
So it was a job interview.
Wow.
And I was so mad. And my dad was like, this is great. This is what we always wanted. And I was like, what?
What do you always wanted?
You had no idea I was going to be a missionary. And he was like, have you heard Gary recently? He he was foreseeing this for 20 years. And yeah, so I got so angry of people mm-hmm. bothering me about it that I called the Office of International Mission just to inquire. I said, I will inquire, I will politely decline, and then I will have told people, hey, I inquired and I decided that that's not what God wants me to do. So I get David Fiala on the phone,
who was
the recruiter at the time, who had served near Silesia, ran the English Bible camp.
Yep.
Right.
Everyone there knew me at this point. I was on so many lists, so many mailing lists.
It's true.
And every time I would go to the Beautiful Feet conference or something, they would find me and they'd mm-hmm. be like, hey, you still go to Poland? You know,
this is starting to get creepy.
This is what I do now. Yeah, so I called and I got David, and he said, oh yeah, you're Chelsea. Yeah. If you could get your application in as soon as possible, that would be great, because we already have some ideas of where we might place you. And I was like, what? How do you know that? And he said, oh, we already figured it out. Just send your application. And I was like, and so I did. And I thought, oh, well, I'll botch one of the interviews. Mm-hmm. Something will go wrong. And mm-hmm. finally, God, you will see that it wasn't supposed to happen. But everything fell into place. And I didn't, like, accept it until I got my placement city. And I will never forget putting it into the map where my camp was to that city and seeing the little blue line that uh-huh. was only 60 miles.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, God, it's yours. I'll go. I will go. Yeah. So I basically moved home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You were right. That is quite the story.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad we got the full one.
I know. A Jonah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
It's very Jonah.
I wouldn't change screaming. Anything. That's only for the first chapter, you know?
Yes.
Oh. More to come.
All right, Carol.
Yeah, what about you?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Gary and Chelsea and all the groups for praying for me. Because at the end of the day, I'll think, and I hear that someone prayed for me, I'll say, oh, that's how I got through the day. Because someone over yeah. there was praying for me.
Yep. Yeah.
And it depends on if you want to hear my long version or short.
We like long versions around here.
Yeah, okay.
We got time.
Okay.
We got time.
A long version. Okay.
All right.
Well, it's not that long.
Okay.
Buckle anyway. In.
You heard the six-year-old version.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then when I was 13, like you, 13, there was a missionary who came from Africa, and he had all these, he had a great, great big long table, and on the table he had all these bones, and I thought, those bones, are they dog bones, uh-oh. or cat bones, or monkey bones, or people
yeah,
bones?
Right.
Because they were, you know, cannibalism in Africa at that time.
Oh, yeah.
And so I thought, oh, no, all these bones. And then I remember exactly where I was sitting, on the right-hand side, second row.
Uh-huh.
And then he also had these drums on the table.
Okay.
And I looked, oh, no, what's he going to say? And he said, well, in Africa, they don't know the true God. And so they use these bones to beat on the drums to worship the false gods.
Oh.
And in my little mind, in 13-year-old in Florida, everyone I knew was Christian. Even though mm-hmm. I wasn't in a Christian school, everyone was mm-hmm. Christian.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
had a pretty nice life. I thought, all these people, someday I'm going to be in heaven with them.
Right.
And also, any problems I'd ever have, Jesus is right there. He'll help me and he'll help all these people. Many verses talk about that he's the shade on my right hand.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I drive, he's always sitting in the right hand side in the seat there. Anyway, and so it was like a big shock to my little system. Like, oh no, someone out there doesn't know him. And so I told my parents that day, I said, well, I know what I'm going to do for my life after I graduate from the university. I'm going to be a missionary, because to me okay. it was just logic.
Yeah.
I know I have it, they don't have it. I have the best in the world, they have Jesus, they don't have Jesus, and so I'm going to be a missionary. I mean, not even thinking about what a missionary did or if I have any talents or anything. I just, out of logic, I got to do it, you know.
You have Jesus.
Yeah.
That's all you
yeah,
need.
That's what I thought.
Right.
I thought, yeah. I guess that's what it was. Anyway, and so then I just continued preparing to be a missionary. And I went to Valparaiso University. Anyway, and so when I was in the first year in the university, I always listened to, it was called The Voice of China and Asia. That was in the radio days. And
yeah.
And The Voice of China and Asia, and they told all about the work they did in China and Asia. And so I wrote them a letter and said, please, again, written letters, not emails.
Okay.
And I said, please send me whatever you can that tells about your work in China and Asia. And so they sent me these, it was called the Flashlight Magazine. And in the Flashlight Magazine, it had many pictures of Chinese people, little children and older people and young people. And I cut them all out and I put them all over my bulletin board.
Okay.
And my roommates had Elvis Presley all over their bulletin board. And I thought they were crazy. You don't even know him. And he's just, you know, one man, you know. And they're thinking, don't even know all these people. But I prayed for them for a year. Uh-huh. And by the end of the year, it was very clear to me that God wanted me a missionary among the Chinese people. Mind you, I had forgotten all about that six-year-old thing.
Okay.
My sister didn't tell me that till about 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't even know that. You know?
Okay.
And she said, oh, didn't you know that you always said that, you know?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, and so I graduated. I minored in education, almost a major, but minored in education and psychology, and then majored in theology. And so then I would be able to go to Hong Kong as a missionary.
Okay.
But when I wrote the mission board, I have the opposite experience from you.
Uh-huh.
They didn't want me.
Okay.
Well, they didn't really say that. It wasn't the time for them. They had 20 some missionaries in Hong Kong already.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
They need another one. And they didn't, it'd take a while anyway to go through whatever ropes you go through.
Yeah.
And so to me is they didn't want me. Well, no, it wasn't. But anyway, it was like, they're not going to send me.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like, that was sad.
Yeah.
Saddest thing in my life. And so then I found the Lutheran Annual. I had never known there was such a thing as a Lutheran Annual.
Okay.
But somehow I found it in the library. And I looked under Hong Kong and I saw we had 20 some missionaries there. And so I wrote to all of them. And in those days, again, was the days when you either use whiteout or a little piece of paper. But
uh-huh.
I wanted to make it word perfect. So I typed those papers, I don't know how many times, each letter, so it was word perfect, not a mistake. And you know how hard that is.
Yes.
To send to the missionaries.
Typer.
Yeah. And that was the type, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I wrote to all these missionaries, and I said, if you can give me room and board, a little bit of pocket money, I could come and help if you think I could help you, you know. And so letter after letter, here are pictures we're doing. I hope you didn't write to too many of us because, you know, well, they didn't know that I had written to all of them. because I don't want to send you duplicate pictures. And I'm thinking, I don't need any pictures. I just need to go.
Oh, and so then
finally there was one that is quite famous, Martha Boss.
Yeah.
And she wrote back and said, okay, if you pay your way here, you can live with me and I can give you a little bit of money each month. And so I used up a lot of my money, if not all of it, to get an airplane ticket to come here, to come to Hong Kong. And so then I was just thrilled to death to be able to be in Hong Kong and to just fly in. And we were in a little village, 10,000 people, just little houses. And I was just thrilled to death. So so that's how I got to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And so then after that, after about 4 years, I thought I should go back on furlough. I mean, so I used up all my money to go back on furlough to see my parents. And in the meantime, I thought, well, just I'll write to all the churches, Chinese churches in America, where there were only two at that point, one in New York and one in San Francisco, and say, if you can use me, like before I go back to Hong Kong, because I want to be with my parents or nearby for a while, then if you can just give me room and board, a little bit of money, just to get my toothbrush and a few things I need, then I can go. And so San Francisco wrote, because they were just starting a church and they needed someone to help them.
Oh.
So I went there and helped them to start the church and everything. And so then after about 11 years, 14 years under my belt, I thought, I'm going to try the mission board again. So then, please, I hope you want me. And so I wrote the mission board. By the way, I speak the language.
Uh-huh.
I have 14 years of experience.
Right.
Would you like me, maybe? You know? And I wrote a whole big program about how to train deaconesses in Hong Kong.
Wow.
And I wrote the whole program out. Would you like me? I mean, please, I can't think of anything else I should do to beg you. You know, just the opposite.
Yeah.
And so then they said, I was in California at this Chinese church. They said, you pay your airplane tickets one way to St. Louis and we'll pay your way back. You know, so.
Okay.
You know, so at least,
okay.
You know. And so I got there. It was just like a few minutes. Anyway, it was just a little bit interview. And then they said, okay. And so I said, okay. So then I went back to San Francisco, packed up my bags. And then I went under the mission board.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's how I got. And that's why everyone says I've been a missionary 44 years.
Right.
44 years. But really, it's in 26, it'll be 60 years.
Whoa. That's incredible.
1966, I went. So weird.
That's, I can't even compute that in my brain.
Chelsea had to be dragged onto the mission field kicking and screaming.
Yeah. The mission board had to be kicking and screaming.
No. They would have removed you at their peril, it sounds like.
Wow.
So, oh, that's beautiful.
Isn't that interesting? They have two people on the
outside. Yeah.
And that's just God, because to me it was God. Yeah. Hong Kong was it, yeah.
Yeah,
Chinese
and
people.
He must have known that you were going to need every one of those experiences before, you were formally a missionary. He was equipping you all that time.
Yeah. And I was officially a missionary, but without a salary. All those years, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unofficially.
Face right now.
Oh, I need a moment to just decompress after
those two stories. Yeah,
God works in all different ways.
He does.
Yeah. He does,
and he still gets his will done. Yeah, in spite of us. Yeah.
Yep.
So what is something that you each? I'm curious from each of your different perspectives. What is something that you would tell to someone who is thinking about missionary service? How would you, what would you say to them to encourage them or say, here's what to do, here's how to go about it? What advice would you have?
I would say it's just the most wonderful thing in the whole world, be a missionary. So be a missionary. You get to tell people about Jesus all the time, and you even get paid for it.
Didn't all the time, you generally get paid.
No, I got everything I needed. He says, I supply your everything you need according to his riches in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I had plenty when I wasn't on the mission board and when I was. Yeah. So it's God's who's there. So I'd say it's just a wonderful thing to be a missionary and to be able to tell people, and especially to be able to tell people who've never heard before. Because they've just never heard, and they're not going to go to heaven. And so it's just a wonderful thing to know that you're doing the most important thing in life, helping to get them to believe so they can be saved and have eternal life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what I would say.
It's a funny question because I met a few people today that said, oh, it's a hard no. Oh, I would never sign up for anything like that. And I thought, you don't know my story.
Let me tell you something.
The first thing I would say is you cannot say no because you don't know God's plan for you.
Yeah.
You just don't know what he has in store. And you might say it's a hard no, and then in 5 years, you turn around and you really want it, but God closes that door. Mm-hmm. You have no idea the great things that God has planned for you and to use your personal skill sets that he gifted you with to share the gospel, plant Lutheran churches, and show mercy throughout the world and maybe right in your own community.
Mm-hmm.
But I also would really highly encourage someone of any age to go on a short-term mission trip because that's what did it for me. Mm-hmm. When I went to Poland, I fell in love with the culture and the language and the people so much that I started teaching myself the language, even though I didn't think I was going to be a long-term missionary. But I just loved it so much, I wanted to serve them and share the gospel with them in their heart language.
Mm-hmm.
And that was important for me.
Short-term missions. Aaron, do you know a thing about short-term missions?
Yeah, Aaron.
Yes, it happens.
So if you want to take Chelsea's advice and look into short-term missions, I know somebody.
Right.
Yep.
Who's really nice.
Happens to be Aaron.
Yes. Well, she's usually really nice. Call Aaron.
Yeah.
She'll tell you what's available.
That's true.
And you too could be like Chelsea and get dragged kicking and screaming out of the mission.
That's right. Right.
But you love what you do, right?
Oh.
I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah.
And hearing you describe your life and your daily and weekly routines, I think, wow, that sounds like a wonderful way to spend your days. I wish I could do that. Maybe someday I will.
Maybe. You never know.
Yeah.
You don't know what God has in store.
I don't.
Every time I think I know, I'm wrong.
Yeah. Right? Yep.
I have found that every single time I have ever doubted, even the slightest doubt that, oh, is this what God wants me to do? Am I supposed to be here? Oh, I'm having a really rough time. This is a bad season. Somebody asks me how I got to the mission field. And retelling that story over and over reminds me of God's faithfulness, of how he has planned out each individual person's life and how he wants to use them for the Great Commission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those stories are so interesting. And I look back and I see my... I've never told this story, but my husband is a chaplain in part because Chaplain Whedon at the International Center saw a Facebook photo of me playing the piano, said, "You play, would you play chapel over at LCEF?"
Okay.
And I happened to be playing the chapel service to which like 6.5 people came. It was my size gathering to play the piano. I'm not a good pianist. Anyway, and ended up sharing an elevator with our preacher for the day, Chaplain Steve Hocanna.
Okay.
Who said, "Can I take your husband out to lunch?" Facebook photo, chapel service, elevator, lunch, and now my husband's a Navy chaplain.
Yep.
Because God puts everything in the way it's, the way he wants it. And you look back and you're just awestruck. So I love hearing your stories and realizing, okay, this is not just one story. This is a lot of stories of the Lord putting people in our lives and conversations happening around us and with us that shepherd us in the direction that he wants us to go.
In ways that we have no idea how it's going to turn out.
And I know both of you have stories like that too. I mean, I've got lots of stories like that. That was just one that's very interesting to me because I can look back and see the very specific chain of events that led to the conversation happening.
Yeah. Yep. I wanted to know some stories. The fun, the hilarious, the stories from the mission field. What are some of your favorite experiences, memories, I don't know, conversations?
They don't have to be funny.
Yeah. They don't have to be funny.
Like, you know,
they can be poignant. They can be dramatic.
Yeah.
I just want to know what things stand out to both of you.
For about 20 years, I went every single Monday night with a street sleeper. We call him, you call him homeless, okay?
Okay.
The homeless man.
Mm-hmm.
And we would visit other homeless men all over the street. We'd give them rice boxes with vegetables in it, and we'd pass it out to about 20 people, and they'd be waiting for us on different corners and everything, and we'd pray for them. And he lived on the street with his mother for about probably 25 to 30 years with his mother on the street.
Wow.
So we'd visit her too and give her two rice boxes, one for him and one for her. And so one day we always also wanted to get some new people. We had those 20, but we had a few extra boxes if we could find someone new.
Yeah.
Because we'd always talk with them and pray with them and give them rice. If we'd give them the rice, they'd say, "Wait, aren't you going to pray?" You know, I mean, you know, prayer was as important to them as the rice was. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, and if they wanted to get off drugs, we'd find a way to get them off drugs. If they wanted to get off drinking, or if they were elderly and they needed a place to stay, but often they liked their freedom on the street. Anyway, whatever, we do whatever we could if they wanted us to. Anyway, and so we saw I don't know what the style in America is, but in Hong Kong you would usually kind of sit there and have a big umbrella in front of you to kind of hide yourself, or to kind of like, this is my private place, you know.
Okay.
And so I saw this man, I could tell from his shoes it was a man. And so we went up to him and I said, "Sir, would you like some rice and some vegetables?" And he said, kind of like yelling at us. And I said, "Well, we brought you some rice and some vegetables. Have you eaten yet?" And he goes, like he wants us out of his hair.
Okay.
And so then I pray, like, what other question can I ask? You know, I thought, I'm trying a real neutral question. Have you eaten? Would you like some rice? I mean,
right,
you know,
right.
He doesn't like those questions. So I said, "Sir, would you like us to pray for you?" And he literally folded his hands, bowed his head, and said, "Yes." So I thought, well, I mean, that was only God's answer that tells me to say that. I'm like, what should I say now? I was thinking about, yeah. Anyway, and so then afterwards, then of course we talked to him. And then we said, well, here we have some rice for you. And he said, oh, no, someone else needs it more than I do. Hmm. And I said, oh, no, we have an extra one. No, I'm sure even if you have an extra one, someone else needs it more than I do. Really, really give it to someone else. And I said, no, we really brought it for you. We want it. God wants it for you. No, that's okay. I don't need it. And so then we said, where are you leaving it here? So we just left it there. We walked about a half a block away and turned back and looked at him, and there he was gobbling it up. He was, and so I thought that was just the precious person of God. And he probably had been in a Christian school when he was a child. And so he knew. And just to say, would you like us to pray for you? Well, of course. So that was a unique way of God. And that God gave me the words to the question. I'm thinking, let's see, what other question can I ask him,
Right. We're often so afraid to go in with the spiritual question. Yeah. We just want to keep everything surface level. But sometimes that's exactly what is needed.
That he wanted.
Rip off the Band-Aid and go for it. Oh, that's wonderful. Very inspiring.
Okay, I have a story from Baby Club.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's cute, though.
Okay.
It's not, like, funny. But I could tell a funny story. A lot of funny stories. So we've been doing this Baby Club for 2.5 years, I think. And I run the Baby Club with Becca Helge and her son, Victor, who is now 3, so he's aging out of Baby Club.
Goodness, he's 3 already.
I know, I'm gonna cry. But so when he was 2, we started it, and this woman was coming with her daughter every week consistently, and we had this relationship with her. She had been in Ben's English group when she was in high school, like once or twice or something.
Whoa,
and then she saw the Baby Club on Facebook and was like, great, I have a little kid, I'll bring her. And every single week for a little while, she would just tell us, I'm not a Christian. Like, she would just remind us, I'm not a Christian, I don't believe in that stuff. And we, that's okay, like, you're welcome here. It's a church plant and community center, so it's for everybody. And on the last day of the semester this past year, so she got pregnant with her 3rd child, and we knew that we weren't going to see her for a while because she would have the baby in January, and then she probably wouldn't come for the 2nd semester. And so it was the last day, and for 2 weeks in a row, her daughter, who was 2 years old, had been having horrible fits when it was time to leave. And I, as an early childhood educator, I could see, like, she knows that it's the end. It's going to be Christmas. It's going to end. She really likes it there. She feels safe there. She's very shy. And she got to know Victor really well. And so they played together a lot.
Okay.
And so they're getting ready to leave. And this little girl just goes ballistic. And she's crying. She's inconsolable. And the mom is like 8 months pregnant. So she like can't do anything. She's just tired. And so I went in the other room to see if I could intervene or at least help her put her shoes on or something. And Victor was already in there, the youngest of missionaries. And he was sitting right next to her, and he put his hand on her leg, and he just said, you know what? I'm sad with you. And then I started crying. And I was like, the empathy of a 2-year-old, like, that's unbelievable. And she calmed down. She got ready. She put her coat on. She put her shoes on. And the mom turned to me and Becca and said, she has never acted this way at any place. She's never been so upset to leave somewhere. She's never played so well with other kids. And you must really be doing something right. And in my heart, I thought, well, it's the Holy Spirit, because he knows that you need to be here. But we just... It was an incredible moment just to see that the relationship, you know, she had been coming there for 2 years and that her daughter also had that relationship. And Victor speaks some Czech, but they don't really communicate a lot. So it was even just through actions that that he was making her feel safe and being her friend and being the church to her.
Aww, it's a lovely story.
It's very cute.
I have another story, not too long, but just recently, well, as I said, I do a lot of counseling. Actually, I do a lot of counseling on the phone, because in the Hong Kong is small. It takes an hour or so to get anywhere you're going.
So yeah.
2 hours round trip and so forth. And so I was this one girl who was going to have her, it's a big thing to have your high school graduation test. It's a big test that determines what university you're going to and everything.
Ooh, right. Yeah.
And so she was all worried about that. And she was just beginning to, she was just beginning to know about Jesus, you know. And so I said, so the beginning part, I said, well, listen, just whenever you have a problem, just say, Jesus, help me, you know, and he'll help you. And then I said, Jesus, please help her, because she's a real new Christian. You got to help her, you know. And so then I call her every 2 weeks, and we talk an hour or two. Most of my counseling is 1 or 2 or 3 hours, by the way.
Wow.
But usually they're doing the talking, and at the end I pray and have a scripture with them. I scroll through a few more weeks, and I was telling her a little bit more about God. I mean, every time that's about all I say is about God, but she tells me about everything. And then I said, okay, well, why don't you pray this time? You know, I mean, I'll pray, you pray, and then I'll pray. And so she says, Jesus, I'm Helen. Well, I want to tell you what happened today. I just talked to Deaconess Halter, and we talked about, she went through the whole hour and a half of everything we said. I couldn't remember it all. That we talked about this, and then we talked about this, and then we talked about my mother, and then we talked about, she went through everything. I thought, why? I didn't remember it all that clear. I mean, I listened very avidly, but not in order, you know. And so, you know, and so then, and somehow she did notice, say, in Jesus' name you pray. So she said, well, that's about it, in Jesus' name. And so then, a few weeks later, then she's telling me about, I mean, this just goes on and on, but she's telling me about, she said, I should be preparing for my big exam. And I got all involved on my phone, and I was looking at my cell phone the whole day. I wasted the entire day. And it was supposed to, but she said it was supposed to be a relaxing day because it was a day off. And she said, and I just wasted it on the phone, and that's awful. I just, you know, and I said, well, you know, you could just get rid of all that feeling, bad feeling. Just ask Jesus to forgive you. Oh, she said, really? I said, yeah, you could ask him to forgive you, and then it's forgiven and it's gone, and ask him to help you not to do it tomorrow. And so she said, yeah, okay. And so then we talked a little bit more, and then she prayed. And then she went about everything she had eaten that day, and she had cooked that day, and she had done from the morning to night. It was evening when I called her. I mean, I thought, you even have a better memory than I do. I don't remember who I saw all along today, and in that order, you know. And so then she said, in Jesus' name, amen. And I said, wait, I thought you were going to ask him to forgive you. Oh, she said, oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus, it's Helen again. I forgot to ask you to forgive me because I really was on the cell phone so long all last night, all yesterday. And, yeah, God, oh, Jesus, please forgive me. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm really, really sorry. Well, that's about it. In Jesus' name, amen. And so that was her precious way of actually asking God to forgive her. Mm-hmm. And so, so I had to leave her and say, well, I'm in America for 6 weeks, so I can't call you every other week, but I'll call you as soon as I get back.
You know? Yeah.
So God, oh, and the other thing she said, you know, after she prayed, she said, you know, I feel a lot better now. I feel good. That just made me feel good, you know. So it's all not using the words that we say, now I'm at peace and I know I'm forgiven, say. And she's, I just feel good now. Yeah, that's good. He forgave me.
That means the same thing.
Even means more because it's right out of mouth of babes.
Well, as you were telling that story, I was thinking of Christ's words about entering the kingdom of God like a little child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it does seem like that's happening in this young woman's life. That we listen to this story and I think, oh, well, she's praying the way my children did when they were tiny and didn't know how to pray yet.
And she's 17, 18
and
years old.
And God hears those prayers.
Yeah.
And, you know, he answers them as much as he does the ones who use all the fancy words.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a beautiful story.
It is.
How can our listeners pray for you?
Oh, yes.
You want me to go first? Okay. I look at her and she says, not yet. Okay, I'll go first. I always need wisdom, very much so. because I also wrote a book in Chinese that's called Evangelism, Practical Evangelism. And so I need wisdom to finish it up and everything. And it was in Chinese, and now some people want it in English. So my English isn't too good. So I have someone who's going to be helping me to say it, write it in the right way. Mm-hmm. So I do need wisdom, yeah, and direction from the Holy Spirit so that I can do what I should do and say what I should say. Because, as I said, when I counsel, I usually listen to the person for an hour or 2 hours, sometimes up to 3 hours. And I don't say too much except to clarify things. And then at the end, I'll say, then God will give me the clear thread of where they were going with everything. And then I'll review what they said in just a sentence or so. And yes, this is what the Bible says about it, you know. And they'll say, wow, you really got the whole thing. You were listening. You got, you know, because I am listening with my heart. But I need the knowledge and the wisdom from God every time to use the right words and pray the right prayers for them.
Yeah.
Okay. First thing that came to my mind was health. Physical health. I'm not sick now.
Right.
But I have a lot of travel coming up in the next months. And that's the thing that's on my mind a lot of the time is I hope I stay healthy because I just don't have time to take a day off or to take 3 days off or to be on antibiotics. And yeah, it's on my mind a lot. So physical health.
Yeah.
And also mental health and spiritual health as I'm kind of out in and out of the routine. A lot of times missionaries are traveling and people think that we're really special and high up and holy, but we're just like everybody else. And sometimes I miss a day of reading the Bible or doing my devotion and I feel it. Because I know that the devil has, you know, he's prowling around and he doesn't want me to be successful or to share the gospel. So a lot of those travel days, I'm really thinking about, okay, I really hope that I can make time today to be in God's word or to just sit with God in silence and reflect on what he's doing and where I'm going and how he's going to use me in that new place.
Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out because whenever I go someplace, like, say, the LWML convention, I find that as much as I enjoy it, it throws my devotional schedule completely off. And I have some catch-up to do at the end of it. And so, and I know that when you are on home service doing all that traveling, it just extends it so that you're tired, you're draggy, you're not getting that regular sort of quiet spiritual nourishment that you're used to. You get it in other ways, I know. But thank you. That's a good prayer.
Good
and
insight.
I will pray for you. Yeah. And Carol, you too. And hopefully all our listeners out there will also be lifting you up in prayer.
I think they will be.
Yeah.
Chelsea and Carol, this has been so fun. Thank you for joining us.
Absolute delight.
And thank you for inviting us.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
This hour has absolutely flown by.
Absolutely.
I actually couldn't believe it's already been an hour, so we could probably talk for another hour, but I know you guys also need to get back, and Aaron, I need to release you back to the LCMS booth that we're borrowing you right now, so we can have our conversation. It has been so fun. It is worth it, definitely. Yes. We'll put a links in the show notes how all of our listeners can learn more about missionary service and the mission fields where both of you serve so people can learn more. You can find you can join us in our Facebook group.
Yes, you can.
The Lutheran Lady. I'm not in the studio with like my usual desk in front of me.
So
my outro is completely not in my brain. You can join our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge, and follow us also on Instagram. We have pictures from Omaha too. If you were here, I'm already seeing the pictures there. So be sure to share those and any of your other stories. If either of you talked with Chelsea or Carol and want to share your stories of your conversations, you can do that there in the Lutheran Ladies Lounge and on Instagram at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. You can find all of our episodes at KFUO.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Thank you.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at kfuo.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us, too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at kfuo.org/give.